Good morning and welcome to all, particularly our guests who join us today on this first Sunday of the Advent season, and particularly for those who are here in town visiting family and friends for the Thanksgiving Day weekend. Thank you for spending part of that time here with us here at the Madeleine. You're always welcome to be with us in the future. And a extra special welcome to Luke Robinson and his family that are here today for his baptism that will take place here shortly. For those who are not able to attend our last Theology Uncorked session of our speaker series on November the 12th concerning Father Stan Rother, that presentation was recorded by representatives of St. Michael Catholic Radio and is now available to be listened to on podcast. You can go to the parish website. You can find it there. You can also go to our Twitter page, our Facebook page, and my personal Facebook page as well. Hopefully this is something in the future, a partnership we can enter into with St. Michael's. And also I will be gone on next Saturday evening for a fundraising event for the radio station, and Monsignor Gear will be here to substitute at the Mass and to preach. Please know that this coming Tuesday, the priests of the diocese will gather at Holy Family Cathedral for a day of Advent prayer and reflection. There will be a Mass at 5:30 at the cathedral with Bishop Slattery, in which everybody is invited to take part. Because of that, I will not be available for confession on Tuesday evening. However, I will be available on Wednesday during Advent from 5 to 6, an extra half an hour on those days. One of the things that's come up from our listening sessions about the parish is we're going to start it in mid-December, a novena, in a traditional Catholic time of prayer, 9 consecutive evenings to come together to pray in preparation for Christmas. We're going to be beginning on December the 16th. We'll talk more about this next Sunday. But we invite people to come together to either the chapel or the church to pray a rosary, the Litany of the Saints, and we'll have light refreshments afterwards. And certainly families with young children are welcome to take part. You know, every year we hear people complain about we need to put Christ back in Christmas, or the commercialization, the busyness, the stress. Well, here's an opportunity to do something other than to complain about it. To come together as a parish church, invite families and friends, and it's about maybe 40, 45 minutes of your time. And just as I do on the Fridays of Lent, I don't expect everybody to come to every one of these nights of the novena, but I would ask every parish household to set aside one night to come together to pray for the novena, to prepare our hearts to welcome Christ at Christmas. Concerning the shooting at the Planned Parenthood clinic in Colorado on Friday, the motives exactly for why are still not quite clear, although the picture that is emerging at the man who did carry out the shooting seems to be less of a religious pro-life zealot and more of a man with a long history of paranoid behavior, of violent activity, run-ins with law enforcement. But for whatever the reason, what happened was unacceptable. We do not defend the life of the unborn by killing people. It can't be more plain than that. I've been involved in the pro-life movement for over 20 years. I've never met anybody who advocated violence. I've never met anybody who would accept anybody who advocated violence. And the police officer that was killed, by the way, was a co-pastor of an evangelical Christian church, which is also a pro-life community. But whatever the reason, we pray for those who have died. And we pray for the conversion of hearts and salvation of souls. And let me echo and repeat the words of the late Cardinal John O'Connor of New York City. He said, "For those who think that they want to go shoot an abortionist, please shoot me instead. If you want to kill somebody, shoot me instead. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May their souls and the souls of all the faithful departed, to the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen." With today being the first Sunday of Advent, the Church's liturgical calendar flips a page. It is a new liturgical year beginning today. This time of preparation, these four Sundays that precede Christmas, to help us to welcome Christ. This year, the first Sunday of Advent overlaps with the traditional Thanksgiving Day weekend, so it has been a time, no doubt, for many these last few days, a time for family, for food, for football, and we're not going to talk about a game that happened last night. Is that off? We're not even on the agenda. And no doubt also it's been an opportunity for shopping, for Black Friday and tomorrow, Cyber Monday and all that. Maybe a time for decorating homes, businesses, and so on. We are told to get into what was referred to as the Christmas spirit. We are to properly observe what is sometimes referred to as the holiday season. So to greet us on this beginning of the liturgical year, the beginning of getting us into the Christmas spirit, the holiday season, to kick off this time of fun and cheer, we hear Jesus in today's gospel reading speak of catastrophes, the powers of heaven shaken, terrifying signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, the nations on earth thrown into such distress that people die of fright. Not exactly an image you can put on a Christmas card and share with others. Doesn't exactly say season's greetings. Somebody maybe needs to tell Jesus to get with the program. String some lights out front of the house. Put a reindeer or two out in the front yard. Does he not know that life is scary already? Does he not understand the anxiety that we live with? The anxiety within us, within our nation, within our culture, the fear that is evident, the fear of terrorism, the fear of change, the fear of the stranger, the fear of our neighbor, the fear of an uncertain future, the fear of one another, and also the fear of ourselves. We've been shaken up enough already. So why not spend a few weeks at the end of the calendar year to be distracted with season's greetings? The darkness of the world, which we are reminded on a nearly daily basis, is all too real. So why not let ourselves be distracted with some food and drink, some gifts, some sporting events in December? Because we all know the darkness is still going to be there, waiting for us after New Year's Day. Advent is a time for us to remember and to be challenged that the Son of God, Jesus, knows our human fears. He became one of us in all things but sin. He knows our anxieties. He knows the darkness. He also knows that no amount of food and drink or gifts or sports or whether we say Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays is ever going to overcome that darkness. Every time as a church we break out the color purple, which is the liturgical color for Advent as well as for Lent, it's a visual reminder that we are being challenged to ponder and to pray with the big questions, the ultimate meanings of life, of faith. Advent, the very word means to come or to arrive. It's a time on the church's worship calendar that, at the least for the beginning part of it, continues the themes that we have been hearing and confronted with throughout the month of November, those basic themes of the last things. Death, judgment, heaven, and hell. Something else that probably wouldn't look too good on a Christmas card. Advent continues to confront us with the reality that our physical beings, as well as time itself, is not unlimited. There is a beginning, a middle, and an end to each and every one of us. And I think it's the fear of that end that drives us to distractions. It is this fear that feeds the darkness. Yet Advent also confronts us with the Christian good news that we are not created to live in darkness and in fear. Jesus says that the coming of the Son of Man at the end of days will not be the cause of fear and anxieties for His church, for His disciples. Rather, we are to stand erect, Raise your heads, because your redemption is at hand. For in Advent, the main focus is on the second coming of Jesus, which is to be the cause of joy, courage, and of hope. And the reason for this joy is that Jesus comes to free us from the power of darkness, our human weakness manifested in our sin, whether they are the sins against charity or the sins against chastity, as well as all those political and cultural forces that oppose the Gospels, all those forces that persecute and oppress faithful disciples. Advent reminds us that all of these forces, no matter how powerful they may seem, they too are temporary. For only the kingdom of God will remain. And that's the cause, or should be the cause, of our joy, our courage, and our hope. So in the darkness of this world, on this first Sunday of Advent, at the beginning of a new liturgical year, in a moment we will light the first candle of the Advent wreath. And we do so not merely out of custom or for the sake of tradition, but we do so out of certitude. It's this certitude that Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and the darkness that is all too real cannot overcome that light. This light is the fulfillment of the words of the prophets, such as we hear from Jeremiah today, that God's truth and justice will bring freedom and new life. In this light, we are to, as St. Paul tells us, to increase and abound in love for each other and for all, to be blameless in holiness before God, our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all His holy ones. This is the light given to us at baptism. This is the light that's going to be given to Luke here in a few moments. A light to be purified through prayer, through worship, through acts of charity in our daily living, to be fed by the gift of the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, to be fed by God's mercy in forgiving us and we forgiving one another. It is this light in which we are not to be distracted. In this light, we are to pay attention to the light that's been given to us to shine in us, so that at the coming of the Son of Man, we will not be afraid. In many ways, Advent should not just be the four Sundays that precede Christmas. Rather, Advent should be a mindset for a disciple throughout the entire year. That was the thoughts of Father Joseph Delp. He was a German Jesuit priest who spent a lot of time praying and reflecting on the meaning of Advent. He also opposed the Nazis who murdered him in 1945. Of this first Sunday of Advent, he wrote, "Advent is similar to the time before Easter. When we go forth toward the great mysteries, we should consider the proper order of our lives in the weeks beforehand. Ahead of time, from a distance, we should review our lives and take a sober look at things, because reality is still the place where true joy grows and where we build things that can support a load." Advent is a time to see that the only thing that endures forever is our relationship with God through Jesus. That's the kingdom of God. All else is temporary. Advent is a time to be reminded that this relationship with God, this light given to us, lived out through a life of moral integrity and conversion of heart and of holiness of life. And the focus of our life is to be on the eternal, not on the temporary. For we were not created to live in darkness or in fear. We are created to live in the light, to stand with heads raised up, and as we hear in the opening prayer for this Mass, to run out to meet Christ with righteous deeds at His coming. Heads raised up. Running out to meet Christ with righteous deeds at His coming. And I think that's an image that would look great on a Christmas card.